Parsha Mishpatim, the parsha that details within it so many of the laws of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, between man and one's fellow man, so many of the judicial laws, so much of the Baba, Baba Tzia, Baba Kama, Baba Batra are based on Seder Mishpatim, the laws of damages, the laws of Shomrim, of people who watch objects over others. All of this is found in Parsha Mishpatim. And the parsha begins, Ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem, and these are the ordinances that you shall place before them. Rashi notes, source 2a, that he begins his commentary by teaching us a linguistic rule. Whenever the word Ela, these, appears in the Torah, it's either rejecting what was discussed earlier or differentiating in some way between the prior discussion and this one. When the Torah says Ve'ela, and these, the vav at the beginning of the word implies that the discussion that follows is somehow connected to the previous one. According to this principle, the entire Parashat Mishpatim, which focuses primarily on halachos governing monetary dealings and interpersonal relationships, is connected to Parashat Yisro. How so? Rashi explains that just as the Aseret HaDibros discussed in Parashat Yisro were given at Sinai, so were all the halachos in Parashat Mishpatim. And the obvious question the commentators wonder, isn't it obvious that the entire Torah was given at Sinai? Do we really need an extraneous vav at the beginning of the parasha to prove what is essentially one of the most fundamental principles of Jewish faith, that the entire Torah was given by Hashem to Jewish people at Sinai? What does the vav, Ve'ela Mishpatim, come to teach us? That these laws were also given at Har Sinai? The entire Torah was given at Har Sinai. I'd like to try to do Mirtz Hashem today is to answer this question straight off the bat. To be able to develop this answer of this premise a little bit deeper and then slightly even deeper. And then see three upshots that we can learn from this premise for our lives. And we'll see that this one little vav is not just connecting us to the previous parasha of Maamad Har Sinai. It's connecting us to the very core of ourselves and our relationship with Hashem. So, what is special that we have to connect it to, where it's not the entire Torah given in Har Sinai? So the Mizrahi, as well as other Rishonim, point out, and this is source 3, Ki ma dibro samru b'sinai b'mamad kol Yisrael u'b'kavlo su'b'brokim, just like the Aseret HaDibros were given with thunder and lightning and all this fanfare, af elu kein, likewise, these laws were also given in the same manner. Unlike the rest of the Torah, which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu privately in the 40 days of Maamad Har Sinai, which we learn from here, says the Moshe Rav Scheinerman in source 3. It's a misprint. Mivuar b'dvarav shamishpatim v'advarim nemru l'am Yisrael v'oto deru shanru Aseret HaDibros. Nimseinu l'meitim d'mishpatei Torah hushvu that there is some level of comparison between these Mishpatim and the Aseret HaDibros and the Ten Commandments. Is it any wonder, as the Nesiva Sholom points out, that Chazal tell us, Shekol Dayan Shedan Din Emes Lamita, any judge who judges truthfully, Ki'ilu Nasa Shut Aflikut Shabrichu B'mayi Sebrishi, they become a partner with Hashem in the creation of the world. There's something about these judgments, something about exacting this law that brings you to this high level of being a shutaf, a partner ke'ilu with the Kadosh Baruch Hu Maamad Har Sinai. What is so special about these laws? What is so special that makes this parsha so incredibly unique? So Rav Monk, in Source 5, in the Call of Torah, teaches us the following. He says, at the very outset of the occasional civil code, which begins with this sedra, the Torah reminds us that all Jewish law is of divine origin. That, my friends, is the premise we are working with here. Why were they given b'kolos u'b'rakim in such a dramatic way? Why is one who judges honestly, shutaf, a partner kilu the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Because we're not dealing with any type of law here. We're dealing with law which comes from divine origin, and hence it was given with such fanfare. For justice, the basis of law, we cannot depend upon man's heart, but on the guidance of God. As David Amelo declares, justice looks down from heaven. It emanates from Hashem, who's its only source. This inability of man to know the essence and nature of justice on his own stems from man's limited understanding of himself and others in comparison with the all-knowing view of Hashem. And Rav Moon continues, and this, my friends, is Mamish the Yesod in 6. Hashem sets up our rights and duties to others according to fundamental laws of the universe, very much like the fundamental laws governing planetary movements and plant growth. As with the laws of nature, the Torah laws of human society become more meaningful and understanding the more we study them and we live with them. This is what we need to understand, that the Torah law is not like regular law. There's something divine about them. There's something that only a being who's outside the mind and the realm of human interests can be able to legislate such laws. As Rav David Hofstadter in Drash Dovid in source number 7 continues on this theme, and he says, the legislators of the nations of the world promulgate the respective mishpatim in all their details from the dictates of the human hearts and mind, in accordance with the will of their citizens. As such, they amend and revive their laws from time to time in order to bring them in step with current trends and popular philosophy that have gained favor with the scholars and ordinary people. But the Mishpatim of the Torah laws were established in a very different manner. They're immutable, for like the Creator, they are eternal and eternally true, not subject to change dictated by time, place, or popular opinion. And with this, the Drash Dovid explains a question we should all have on a very famous Medrash we've learned as youngsters. The Medrash, we know that when the Torah was given, first Hashem went to all the other nations, and the nation said, what's written in it? So when Esav heard that you're not allowed to murder, he said, no, I have to murder. When Yishmael heard, when the nations heard different things, you can't steal, what do you mean? Yadova kova yad kobo, I have to steal. And they refused to accept the Torah. And the obvious question is, hold on a second. Does not every society have basic laws and norms? You can't steal, you can't kill. Why were they rejecting Torah? Every society has these laws. But rather, what the Drash Dovid is pointing out here, we suggest that although they have enacted laws prohibiting these actions, those laws were all subject to the interpretation and the social norms that were in vogue for each particular nation at any given period in history. What they term theft, immorality, or murder may have been different from the Torah definition of these prohibitions. And that's why they were ready to accept whatever their society says, because their society, you can bend the rules, they change, they fluctuate. It's not like the Torah, which is unchangeable, which is immutable. And we see this, my friends. We know that murder is reprehensible, but then how do you define murder? Is abortion murder? Is, DNR, is that murder? If a person says, you know, family decides to do that, euthanasia, all of these questions. The fine lines become so delicate and so difficult to understand. And therefore, when it's created by humans, so then there's much more room to say, well, in this case and in that case, and obviously, you know, we ask greater people than ourselves to understand what Torah law is all about and every situation to be able to handle it with the sensitivity it needs. But bottom line, there is one Torah which gives us the principles in all situations at all times, and those are the principles we have to go by. And with this, Rabbi Frand in The Power of Avord in source number 8 explains based on Rav Simcha Sheps, one of the Rashi Yeshiva Torah V'Das. He says this is how the Bar Tanura explains the beginning of Masechet Avos. Why in the beginning of Masechet Avos, Pirkei Avos, Ethics from the Fathers, do we have Moshe Kibel Torah Mitzino, Master Eli Yeshua? We have the whole Shoshalot Kabbalah, the whole chain of tradition. Why doesn't that chain of tradition begin Masechet Brachos, the beginning of Torah Shema Peh, the oral tradition? And the answer is very simple, says the Bar Tanura. When we come to Pirkei Avos, which we think are nice maxims of how to live your life, you know, we may think that that was created by people No, understand that every aspect of our lives is stemming from Moshe Kibel Torah Mitzinai. And likewise, he says, this is what Rashi is telling us here as well, that every country in nine has laws governing its business dealings of its citizens. Lest we think that Parsha Mishpatim is just a Jewish version of Business Law 101, Rashi teaches us every word of Mishpatim was given by Hashem to Moshe at Har Sinai. And he goes on, every religion, even seculars, have ethics by which it expects society to live. The New York Times has a weekly column by someone called the Ethicist, who paskens what's considered ethical, although his rules are often dreadfully wrong by Torah standards. And you hear the little bit of the cynicism and sarcasm. If someone can't wait until Sunday for their ethics fix, the local paper might run the Miss Manners column, which is syndicated 3 times a week in over 200 newspapers. The author of that column is the final authority in good manners and proper behavior for millions of Americans. There's also a monthly radio program on the topic of civility, and the host at time actually makes sound points. So other nations also have a set of ethics. What's the difference? So since let's take a look. 2 examples. We have a pasuk in our parasha, Lo Tisa Shem Hashav. Do not accept a false report, which is one of the exhortations not to speak Lashon Hara. Now, although this pasuk highlights the iniquity of spreading a false report, we know that Lashon Hara is prohibited even if the story is 100% true. Go tell a secular ethicist that we have a law forbidding telling or listening to a true story about another person if that story presents the protagonist in a negative light. What's wrong with telling a true story, they will undoubtedly ask. In a secular society, gossip is something to be celebrated in daily newspaper columns. Who would make up such a law? A human ethicist would never choose to enact a law that limits speech to only focusing on the positive attributes of others. Another example in our parsha. He brings it in contemporary terms. Let's say you're driving down the highway, and you see down the road a friend of yours who has a flat tire, and a little bit further up is your sworn enemy with a flat tire. Who are you obligated to help? So the ethicist would say, of course, your friend. And the Torah says, no, your enemy is who you help, because this is what you have to do. Overcoming your feelings toward your enemy builds characters. Continuing the next page, these statutes are so counterintuitive, they can only be a direct transmission from Sinai, together with the rest of the Torah, which is what Rashi is conveying to us. Only a person who fully accepts that the Torah is Hashem's word will commit to working on himself according to Hashem's expectations, not according to the ever-diminishing human constructs of ethics. My friends, this is the premise we're going to work with, obviously going to develop, and then see the upshot to Mirat Hashem for our lives. What is the Torah teaching us? And Ve'elam Mashpatim, and these are the laws, that these laws come from Sinai like the entire Torah. Does not the entire Torah come from Sinai? The answer is yes, and here's the crucial difference. Ve'elam Mishpatim, these laws are divine origin. Do not think that since there are other legislative powers given in this world, that we too have humans who decide Jewish law. No, not that idea from your mind completely. Understand that Torah law, Mishpatim, comes right after Parshat Titro. And in fact, it's sandwiched. The end of the story of Mamad Har Sinai is found at the end of Mishpatim. It's sandwiched in between to teach us the primacy of understanding that Torah law, it's of divine origin. The Birkas Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Zrachi, takes this idea even deeper. And he says, when you take a look at Torah sources, you see that having proper justice in court is a major thing. We have the pasuk in Yeshaya, Tzion b'mishpat tipata. You want to know how redemption is going to come? It's going to come Tzion b'mishpat, with having justice. Vashiva Shavtaya Karishona. We say it every day in our davening. I'll bring back the courts as they once were. What is so great? Shimu Mishpat Vatsustaka Kikrova Yeshua Silava. What's the big deal about justice that it's so connected with redemption? And further, why didn't Hashem just, have us? He says, you guys take care of laws. I'll deal with the spiritual aspects. have a difference between church and state. I'll deal with the spiritual. You deal with the technical. Why is Hashem interested in whether an ox gores a person or an ox, or if you make a pit in the ground and someone falls into the pit, or if your fire then goes into another person's field, or if you borrow something from your friend and you damage it, are you responsible? Why does the Torah care about such minute detail? Listen to the answer Rav Ezrachi gives. Source 14, Ela Shekol Gishir Tainu Lin Yanzve Mitzuyef Et Miyusov Da'al L'chol Hayoter Shikri. Rav Ezrachi will misunderstand the entire picture if that's the way we're looking at things. Yesh Ladad Kamishpat Shal Mishpatim Kamo Kol HaTorah Kula Kadam L'chol HaBriya. Listen closely, my friend. The whole idea of Jewish court and justice system preceded the creation of the world. Adzerabba Hashora Hamora Tanagolet Vaganav Kolel Kaimim Babriya Shutma Lamishbat. When Hashem looked into the world, we know that He stakel Baraisa Uvara Alma, that Hashem looked into the world and looked into the Torah rather than created the world, which means that Hashem understood by looking into the Torah that we need to have something called an ox. Because when an ox interrelates with the world, we're to have a certain halacha. And for whatever reason, Hashem wanted this halacha. So in order to have this halacha, He created this ox. He created the ability to have a fire that has the properties that it can spread very easily. We misunderstand and think, oh, we have an ox. Now, what do we do with an ox? We have a car. What do we deal with a car? Well, how do we deal with damages? That's the wrong perspective. Hashem understood that for whatever reason, we'll talk about it, Emirat Hashem soon, perhaps some, even though we don't understand. The obvious answer is we don't. We're beyond us. But to get a glimpse, not even a glimpse, a taste, not even a taste. A small segment, an eye's needle of an understanding, to be able to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this entire system for His purposes, which only He knows, and therefore the way we view the world has to be that all of this is here in order for the justice system to happen. So it's not that we have a situation and now how do we respond? No. The situation was created in order to be able to activate the system that Hashem had in mind before the creation. And that is why the Torah law is emes lamisa. It is truth. It is not something contrived by the human mind, which changes and fluctuates. It's immutable because it preceded the world. It is what the world is based on. The world is here because of these things. The way he describes it is like an architect who has everything in place in order for the building to function. You know, it's that house somewhere in California on the coast where they built without any architectural plans, and you walk up the stairs and you hit a brick wall, right? And then you suddenly say, oh my gosh, I'm going nowhere. So, well, I better create a room there, or I better create something. That's how our justice system down here in the legal system in the world is created. Oh, we have a problem called copyright. Gee, can I take a CD of, you know, music and copyright it? Well, that's an interesting question. Well, what do I do? No, that's not the way it happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole idea of copyright, of property rights, etc., and built them into the world. That's the architect of the world. And therefore, all the halachas are already in place, no matter whether it is oxes or cars or whatever the latest robot's going to be. It's all found in the rules in the Torah. And that's how that Torah, Rav Yerucham Levovitz, explains Mashkiach of Mir, where he says, when you take a look at so many, throughout history, legal systems, he describes it as ham yisadim ba'atzmam. They establish themselves malei hafakhiyot, with a lot of turnover. Da'atayim shalahem mishtanot, hey ma'bokeh l'tzarayim. They change their minds from the morning until evening. Every moment things are different. Not the Torah. And he says, this is why. We have 248 limbs. Why? Because there are 248 positive mitzvot. So we have 365 gidim in our sinews. Why? Because there are 365 lotaseh. Everything is so measured. And with this he explains, we so often think you know, it says in the Torah that we have to honor our parents, and therefore, you know, we have to be nice to them, etc., etc. He says, do you know why we have parents? It's because it says in the Torah we have to honor parents. So Hashem, understanding that this is what the world needs to honor parents, He therefore created parents. Parents are here because of Torah, because of Torah law. So He says in Av in the Aram 16 Va'aim, see, bad mitzvah kibbutz, not the reason we honor them. Because there's a mitzvah to honor, we have to create something called parents, because this is found in the Torah. And that is why the Siftei Chaimer Friedlander, quoting from the Brisker Rav in Source 21, he says, when you look at the idea of lo tirzach, you're not allowed to murder. Say, oh, murder, reprehensible, I would never murder. Why do we have that feeling? Because Hashem put into this world the feeling that murder is something wrong. And if Hashem didn't put this into the world, we wouldn't feel this way. We have to get our perspective correct. You know, we're almost looking at the world backwards. And what we have to be able to understand is, how did Hashem envision this world? Hashem had a vision of what are the things that the world need to survive and to function. And that's what He established in what He calls the justice system of this world. And that is why we cannot go to a secular court. Because even if a secular court would come up with the same answer, it's not based on the truth of the way Hashem envisioned that the justice system should be meted out. We have to be able to tap in to that essence. Just to take this idea one step deeper, summarize it, and then we'll work into the upshots for our lives. Rabbi Zina Pell in Mitzamech Siyom says, you know, you would have thought that after the story of Mamet Har Sinai, we would have, the next section would be Kriyat Shema, would be Tefillin, would be something of monumental, Ben Adam L'Makom, between man and God. What do we find? We find Inyani Mamonos, Inyani Gashmios in source number 17. We find the most physical aspects of this world, Mamo, who devour Hayoter Gashmi. Money is one of the most physical things in this world. Vayoter chitzoni shel adam, most external. Why do we have this? And we have to understand, my friends, and this is the key, that that's just the outer shell that we see, that money is something that brings us away from Hashem. We know, we've spoken about this in the past, and this is Shabbos Parshat Shkolim, that kesef is the word kisufim, the Shem Yishmo, we've spoken about this, of desire, that money can lead you so far away from Hashem, or it can bring you so much closer to Hashem, nichsof, nichsafti, and this is our challenge. Our challenge is to be able to see in the laws of monetary dealings and the laws of the physical, that is just a levush, that's just a covering for that which is spiritual, that which is much deeper. In the bracket in 18, we have to understand, this is real Torah, and it is so spiritual. It's like the level of all the rest of Torah. Even though externally it seems to be so foreign from Torah, it's only a covering. Leor Helion Or Elokutoi Parach Hasharel Mitgale Beltiodu B'Sikur Elu. Our job is to peel away the layers and see the inherent spirituality. To see that we're not just dealing with an ox, we're not just dealing with a fire, we're not just dealing with damages. We're dealing with Ritzon Hashem. We're dealing with the will of God. We're dealing with the kivyochol, the mindset of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're dealing with the very core and depth of what Yiddishkeit is about. Yistakel ba'araisa vara alma, that Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world. It shifts completely the way I view this world. So, my friends, if we just work on understand our premise, and then we'll get to our practical aspects. Idea number one, what is the premise that we're dealing with here? Ve'ele mishpatim, why do we connect it back? Is not the Torah, whole Torah from Sinai? Yes, I would understand that things are from Sinai, but maybe you would say that the legislative laws are something that man created, that there's something that every society has. you know, legislation. So we do have legislation. So the Torah goes out of its way right at the beginning, right after Ma'amad Har Sinai sandwiched in the middle to say, Af'elu Mitzinai, just like the Torah was given at Sinai, Ve'ela, these and these. This was also given at Ma'amad Har Sinai. And the same Kolos Habraki, but it's more than that. It's saying that Torah law is not something concocted and created by human beings who are limited, who only understand what they themselves can understand and can't go beyond that. And they can't understand and fathom the needs of the entire human race. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah. He created the laws. He created what works, a system of society that is true for everyone at all times, at all places, in all situations. And more than that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this system even before He created the world. And He created the world with the very things in the world, like an architect who puts things into a house. He put these things into motion with these laws, that the ox has this type of personality, and this animal is that personality. It's all built in, so that understand, when I learn Torah, I'm not just learning about an ox. I'm learning kivyochol about the will of Hashem, that He understood that this is the mindset of this animal, and it will react in certain ways. And this is teaching us, which is all the Gemara is about, so many fundamental halachos in so many different ways. And that's how we have to understand what Torah law is about. It's not just based on the situation. Let's see how I'm going to respond. It preceded all the situation, and all the situations are built on these foundations. It is the Or. It is the light. And all the laws are just clothing that we have to remove them to able to get to the core. With this in mind, my friends, we can appreciate, I would suggest, obviously there are more, three upshots for our lives. Upshot number one, the old Moshe, Rav Scheinerman brings down from Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, who says, V'tiret, V'zel Lashono, source 22. Elakan Yeshna Tosefet Limura Kali Kan Bataral or Mosha Nema Reparsha Tui Mamashka Sarda Dibra. The Torah is trying to underscore to us, this is Mamish like the Ten Commandments. Why? Zemishum Shekol Mazalza Bildini Mamonos. Anyone who makes light of these laws of money, Hare Kukofer Banagara Shemis Barach Uveshka Kato Kol Yochi Vyochi. You really deny Hashem's divine providence in this world over every individual. Because if you really believe Be'emunah Shleima that Hashem, with complete faith, was sustaining the world, and without Hashem, you would not be able to have whatever you have. So then you understand that whatever you are given is tailor-made from you. And therefore, you will not take away from somebody else because it doesn't belong to you. You understand so clearly that everything comes from Hashem. For both sides, based on what we've been saying, we have a much deeper understanding into this Drash Moshe, into this piece where Moshe Feinstein. For both sides, listen closely, because this is Mamisha Yisod. If I really understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set everything into motion, and that's how He built the world, so I understand that Hashem not only set into motion 5,777 years ago, but He sets into motion constantly every moment of every day. Hashem renews creation. Hashem renews me in as an individual in creation. That Hashem returns my neshama, which means that just like Hashem put the ox into the world, because this is what the world needs in order to have the situations that will happen with an ox, Hashem puts exactly in my life exactly what I need in order for me to be me. So for me to think that if I will cheat somebody else out, that I will make more money, you are denying the very aspect that Hashem is continually involved at this very moment in my life. If you really believe that Hashem is orchestrating everything, and you understand the depth of what Dinei Mamonos are all about, that the laws of the monetary laws is Hashem, who He is in control. Not that He just set up a system and left, but He set up the system with such exact precision that He is intimately involved in every stage of the way, then you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here at this very moment. And what right do I have to take something that doesn't belong to me? It's gezel, doesn't belong to me. Period. I'm not going to argue with this and that, and you know it's not such a big deal. I just had this a few minutes ago. We went to pick up these Myra McComos for one of my shearing, and my daughter came back into the car and said, they stuck an envelope in here. Did you ask for an envelope? I said, no. I turned the car around. I said, bring back the envelope. What's the big deal? An envelope? How much does an envelope cost? It's not mine. Finish. There's nothing to talk about. We have to understand we're given exactly what we need. If we're not supposed to have that envelope, it was put in by accident, you turn around and you go back and you return it to the store. That's it. There's no questions asked. And with this, says the old Moshe, we can understand that the first question that is asked in the Beis Din Shamal after 120 years is Nasatav Natata Bemuna, which is literally means, did you act faithfully in business? But now, based on this, Rav Moshe, it's much deeper. Did you really bring Emuna, God, into your life? Did you really believe that He's running your life? If so, let's see how your business reflected this idea that you understand that Hashem is running your life at every stage of Kol Tzav V'Shal at every step of the way. So idea number one, my friends, is if we understand that Hashem created the world and envisioned in this world all the scenarios that are going to happen, it's not only the past, but He's also intimately involved in every scenario that is happening. And therefore, I understand that everything that happens to me is in order for me to test myself and to follow what is halacha, what is appropriate, what's not appropriate. If it doesn't belong to me, then I have to be able to say, this is not mine, and I have to give it back, and I have to ask these questions. That's idea one. Idea number two, upshot number two, and I think this is really the core. Rav Gifter in Pirkei Torah 24 points out, mitzvos can be classified into three groups. Mishpatim, those mitzvos that appear understandable enough for man himself to have instituted these mitzvos, that man would not have thought of, but can relate to once some of the reasons are explained, and chukim, mitzvos, the reasons of which are beyond human comprehension. As the name implies, our Siddur deals with mishpatim, and although we tend to rationalize the purpose of mishpatim by connecting our Siddur to the previous one, the Torah teaches, just like chukim, mishpatim were also given at Sinai, and thus emanate from a higher source than mere human logic. The real reasons for mishpatim are also beyond man's understanding. And that's what we need to understand. Now, when I look at Parsha Mishpatim, I have to understand that I am limited. Zos Chukat HaTorah, the entire Torah, is really a mishpat. I don't understand it. And with our explanation now, it goes even deeper, my friend. I don't understand it because it's not human mind. It's God's mind. It's beyond what I can even fathom. And that is why he says in 25, this is the fundamental difference between secular and Torah law. Their society has these laws. Secular laws are nothing more than a human logic and understanding of what a society requires to function. And that's why they constantly change. On the other hand, Torah law and its fulfillment are based on the concept of compliance with the will of Hashem. Mitzvot are a means to further character growth and to attain closeness with Hashem, something no secular laws can achieve. We say, Magid Varav Yaakov Chukav Mishpatav Israel. He relates his word to Yaakov, his statutes and judgment to Israel. He did not do so for any other nation. Such judgments they know them not. This is the key. Why do we have these laws? And this is that glimpse, is that the laws are not, we'll develop this now, Yirat Hashem, are not just to keep us away from harming another person. It's what Rav Gifter's saying. They're means to further our character growth and closeness to Hashem. And that Shraga, Rav Shraga Grossbar from Panovich in 27 notes this so clearly. Mishpate Hashem emet tzadku yachtav. Mataratam naleg voah harbei ma'ot. Yoter, it's not just to keep Shekhev and Shabbat quiet in the streets. Rather, it has a much greater purpose. L'ilechanech, ha-matarai l'chanech et ha-nashim, is to teach us. V'lakno lahem midos tovos, to teach us and to give us good midos, like changing the tire of our enemy. Hergelim tovim, to have good habits, umaisim tovim, to have good acts. Why do we have the Mishpatim? Yistakel b'raisa v'ara alma. Hashem understood that these are the laws that we need in order to become better people and closer to Hashem. An example of coming closer to Hashem, we just gave an example of becoming a better person, helping our enemy, not speaking lashon hara. These are laws that help us become better. Where do we see closer to Hashem? 26, Rav Gifter gives an example. There's a Torah law again in our parsha that says that if a garment was given as a security for a loan, So you have to give back that garment every night so they have something to sleep with. The mitzvah can be rationalized part of man's obligation to be compassionate to his fellow, for without his garment a friend may be cold at night. However, Rashi, quoting Medrash Tanhuma, offers us a different insight. The Torah makes you repeat the act of taking and returning security, even if you must do so many times. A lesson that may be learned from the way that Hashem treats us. It's as if Hashem said, consider how indebted you are to me. Every night your neshama sends to me, gives an account of itself, and is found to be in debt to me. Nonetheless, I return it to you every morning. Therefore, you too take collateral and return it. Take it and return it, even if you do so many times. Indeed, a divine rationale far from human deduction. Rabosai, this is the glasses that we have to look at Parsha Mishpati. These are the laws that help us grow closer to Hashem. These are the laws that help us grow closer to being a better person. And we've spoken at length for many years about Evid Ivri. Why is that the first mitzvah? Because this is so different than the prison system. The prison system, they learn how to be worse prisoners. And Evid Ivri, somebody stole, they can't pay back the money. We put them in a home that's going to rehabilitate them. That's going to make them into a mensch. That's going to teach them how to deal with society. That's what Torah law is about. It's so dramatically different. But it goes deeper than that. Rav Beifuss quotes the Be'er Mechokek in Source 28, and he says, we know at the end of last week's parsha, we have the inyan of not going up with inappropriately, without wearing pants, on the Mizbeach, because it's a bizayon, it's an embarrassment to the altar. And Rashi brings out for the Medrash, if stones, which have no feelings, we're sensitive to, quote-unquote, its feelings, how much more so we have to be sensitive to our friends who are created in B'dmut Yotzrecha, in the image of God. We see in the asterisks in 28, Chasiba, Lechova, Lizaver, Chod Chaver, why do we have to be careful with our friends? The Chol Shechein, Shalom, Lovazoto, and not to embarrass them is because they're created with Selim Lukim, Omar. How do we have to look at our friends? We have to look at them that they are created in the image of God. And therefore, when I look at these mishpatim, it's not only teaching me how to be a mensch. It's not only teaching me how to come close to Hashem. It's teaching me how to relate to other people. That I look at them as godly. And that's what I have to understand. That's what's bringing me back to that Sinai experience. That it's not just that there's something called God, there's coming davening and kashrus and shabbos, and I understand all those things. But my interpersonal relationship, if I borrow something from somebody and I break it, that I have to be concerned about? The answer is yes. Because they are created in the image of God, and I have to treat them as they're created in the image of God. And that's why the Sabo Slobodko says the Chavetz Chaim was very influenced by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who happened to be Niftar right before Parsha Mishpati, and they say not by accident, because his sensitivity, that the Chavetz Chaim was influenced by him to write his books, and Avos Chesed, and the Chavetz Chaim, and Shmir Salosho, from this very reason, that we take a look at the laws between man and God. Wow! Between man and man, we forget that's also between man and God. That person's created in the image of God. And that's how we have to understand it. With this, the Das Torah in Source 33, it's one of my favorite Das Torahs. We've done this before. He said, Rabbi Yerucham, that when I learn Torah, I am learning Lomdim Yashar Sabarisbar. Through Torah, I understand, kivyachol, the ways of Hashem. Mahu rachum afatarach, I understand the ways of Hashem. And you can't learn Torah without that. That's why the Navi says, the Tosei HaTorah lo yidouni. How can it be that people, Yirmiyahu Navi says, how can it be that people who learn Torah don't know me? How can it be that vati yiratamoti mitzvah sanashim lumata? How can it be, by rote, your learning of the Torah should bring you to greater levels of Yirah Shemayim, awe of Hashem? Because when you learn Torah, you feel Hashem's presence. You're able to see the way Hashem works in this world, and it brings you such higher and greater aspects of understanding. He says in squiggly line in 33, right above 34, V'achshav agalo lechem so gadol. Now I'm going to teach you a great secret. Sheotzei mizeh Torah chadash l'maisa, that has a big implication in our lives. Shekeshem shibet Torah ben adam l'makom. When I learn the laws between man and God, I'm really learning more deeply about Hashem. And I can't understand Hashem without Torah. So too when I learn the laws between man and one's fellow man. I'm learning my friend. And learning the Torah without understanding my friend, you're going to be left reik. You'll be left in Am HaAretz. He says that's what it means. Ahavterecha kamocha es klal gadol b'Torah. Or the other idea of Sefer Toldos Adam, either Ben Azai Rabbi Akiva, it's about, if you want to know Torah, you have to understand who a human being is. You have to know what a person's about. Mahu Adam, Mahu Tirchashal Adam, what does a person care about? Litzdar Kama Yagava Tarach Plomini, Bekama Nitzdar Rechishah Kinyano, how much his possessions are so important to him, and what happens when something breaks something in his possession. He said it's just like somebody who's learning medicine, has to learn on a cadaver, has to see it in practice. You can't learn Baba Batra, you can't learn any of the sukkahs of interpersonal relationships without knowing who a person is. Rabbi said, when we talk about what is the Mishpatim that they come from, Har Sinai, what we're saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu constructed the Torah that when we learn these laws, not only learning the laws in order to create a society that's not going to harm each other, it's much deeper than that. I'm learning these laws and I'm keeping these laws because I, as an individual, become more sensitive to others and to myself when I learn these laws. That's what it's about. It's a limud in Musar. You know, recently, just this week, a student asked me, how come the boys' yeshivas don't learn what the girls learn? They don't learn Musar, they don't learn Machshava, they learn Gemara all day. So without getting involved in the specific discussion that this girl was raising, to a certain degree, my friends, if Gemara is taught correctly, this is one of the first Gemaras, these Babas are one of the first things that boys learn in fifth grade. If they learn correctly, they are learning Musar. They are learning Machshava. You can't learn. A guy has an ox and he harms another person's property. And you bring it down into a terminology that kids can understand. You know, you have a bat and you swing the ball. And the ball, you know, shatters a person's window. Are you responsible? Stop. How does the person feel who hit the bat? With the ball with the bat? How does the person who has a broken window feel? How do they feel to have their privacy being intruded on? What does it feel like? What does it feel like? It's not like it's a touchy-feely religion, even though Torah is. It's about sensitivity. That's the essence of Torah. That I do care about, oh, well, they should have had the window so close to the baseball field. No, let's not hear all of this. That a person needs to understand that I have a relationship, I have an obligation, I have to maintain my own standards, my own level of responsibility. Other people have to take care of responsibility, to understand what responsibility is about, and to understand what repercussions of my actions are about, and how other people feel. And when we enter into this world of sensitivity, I'm just not learning Gemara. I'm learning the Torah Sa'adab. I'm learning the way people feel and how people interact and the sensitivity to people. So therefore, when I teach this and I say, you know, the person really, they care about their possessions. And you'll say, oh, what's the big deal? They can buy another one. No, it was that one. For whatever reason, they're mostly connected to that one. And you're able to enter into creating the sensitivity that people need. That's where we understand the divine law. And this is why, again, the Yalkut Yosef Lekach in source 30 and 31 says this is mamish the difference between the secular law and Torah law. The secular 31, Shusirat HaMishpatim HaNaseid HaYidei B'nei Adam Chayavim Litztamsein Ma'o V'lasok Ach V'rak Mishpatim Kolim B'yoteh. First and foremost, it's very general. And B, shall seek Mishpatim Ka'elu B'toratam Eino Masek El Masif Tzuchim Shutim. And you're dealing with, you know, this argument and that argument. And these are basically in order to be able to prevent people from doing things that shouldn't go over justice, that people don't have complete anarchy and people eating each other up alive. Torah law is not about this at all. The point of punishment is not to keep peace. The point of punishment is to be able for a person to recognize how terrible a thing this is. He describes it as sugav shoshanim, as being like protected by flowers. That's how we have to learn Parsha Mishpatim. That's how we have to learn the lens of Torah law. It's not just in place, in case you do something. No, I want you to learn it. You're not a lawyer. You're not, right? Who learns legal volumes unless you're a lawyer? No, I want you to learn, and the kids learn, and we all learn Parsha Mishpatim, Chumash Rashi. I want you to learn it because I want you to understand that the sensitivity that you need to have and the beauty you need to have and the way Hashem set up this world. So I don't want to sin and I don't want to hurt my friends, whatever it is. And when I borrow something from my friends, I'm going to treat it with the utmost care. Why? Because I appreciate me, I appreciate my friend, I appreciate that they lent this to me, and I appreciate how careful I have to be with an object they lent with me. And I look at the whole system with, as again, as a beautiful flower that I don't want to damage. That's what Torah law is. It's a beautiful architectural plan, like a beautiful rose garden that we walk through and just take in the beauty, the system, the order. And I don't want to damage it because I don't want to damage the world as a result of my carelessness. And that has to be the focus and the outlook of what Torah law is about. Im nakir b'chol zeh, notes Yosef, Yaakov Yosef Lekach, Rabbi Yosef in 32. Navin shemishpatei ha-Torah hem inyan shel romamut ha-nefesh. It's about elevating the soul. V'akara b'gavos ha-adam, and realizing the greatness of a person. U'b'chashivuso shel kol nivra, and the importance of every single person around. Me'elav yuvan shemishpatim ke'elu murumim ha'ema menusim ad la-ba'od. They are so exalted. We're dealing with tchunas ha-nefesh. Hashem wired us a certain way. And understanding the way He wired us, that's how we put in the halachas. He understands that us keeping these halachas appropriately are going to build us into more sensitive people, into more caring people, into people who understand the depths of this world. You know, the example I've given many times, because it made such an impression on me, so I apologize for hearing this over and over again, was living in L.A. during the L.A. riots in the early 1900s, I'm not that old, even though I feel like it some days, in the early 1990s, where the media would say, Costco is now being looted, and people would go to Costco, and you would see them taking out the TV sets, this is really before the computer ages, and taking out all the stuff, and the police just standing there. If everyone's looting Costco, that's what we're going to do. Whoa! That's not what the judicial system is about. That, you know, well, if someone breaks the law, then the police and everyone's rioting and the police are, you know, ineffective. They can't do anything. And it's nothing to do whether the police are there or not there, whether they're rioting or not rioting. You can't take something that doesn't belong to you, an envelope, a pen, a TV. It makes no difference. You can't take it. Torah law builds us. Builds our character. And that is why, my friends, and I can't emphasize this enough, when I learn Chumash and I learn Halacha, I have to learn it with this mindset. It's not just telling me, you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. That's, yes, but it's much deeper. It's teaching me about who I am. It's teaching me about what abilities I have, what I'm made up of, and what Hashem expects of me. And as a perfect example of this in 36, the Masisheo Salomon Shlita, Mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva, quotes from Masil Shishorim about the mitzvah, about loti kom veloti tor, I'm not taking revenge. So a person does something to me, and it's really not a nice thing. So human reaction is, well, they deserve it. You know, if they did this to me, then they, you know, I'm going to do it back to them. And the Torah says, no, stop. They may have done something wrong, but recognize that they are just a shaliach from Hashem. That doesn't mean, doesn't exonerate them, and they're responsible, yes. But recognize where it comes from. And what do I expect of you? I expect better of you. I expect you not to take revenge. I expect you to treat the person with a tremendous amount of respect. I expect you to go fix that flat tire of your enemy. Go help them out first. Ah! Yes. When I learn Chumash, even if I've never fixed a flat tire in my life, and I haven't, and I don't think I ever will, It's not the point. It's the point of when I learn this halacha that I have to help my friend's donkey first, my enemy donkey before my friend's donkey, I stop and I say, whoa, this is a law for me. When I told in Parsha Kedoshim not to take revenge, whoa, what does the Chumash want from me? What am I supposed to build? It's the learning of the halacha itself, not just implementing it, obviously implementing it, but the first step is to see that this is coming from a very, very deep place. It's coming from a place of Hashem who orchestrated and the entire world and has wired me a certain way, and I can be able to live up to these expectations because he understood what these expectations were and then built me and wired me the way I am. Created parents, created the halacha of honoring parents, and then created parents. And that's how I have to understand the whole system. And that's why the Matnat Chaim points out in 35 that we know from the Mabit that the two sides of the luchos were what we put in modern-day terminology, equal font, that they took up the same amount of space, that you were able to see both of them clearly. Why? He says, because human nature is, ben adam l'makom, you believe in God and keep Shabbos, ah, for sure, God told me, not to kill, not to commit adultery, ah, you know, what's the big deal? Oh, yeah, if it's convenient, if... No. Torah law says that both between man and God and between man and man are both divine. And this, he notes, is one of our great challenges. That when it comes to like a lulav and esrog, wow, you know, this is the end of 35, I'm going to have such, you know, kavanas. But when I help another person or I do something for another person, I don't have these spiritual thoughts. Wrong. Everything is coming from a spiritual place, remember? It's a levus. It's a clothing over this light. And my friends, we could take this idea just one step deeper. We'll summarize what we've seen and end with one final piece, the Beretz Hashem. It's a Matnat Chaim who knows in 37, based on Rav Moshe Karaverdo and Tomer Devora, that when you treat a person nicely and you go above and beyond what you think is your own capability, you're really a Matat Yodeo, following in Hashem's ways, Va'alachta V'Dracha. And that's the Midah of L'Shem Yitznach L'So, that Hashem treats us like a relative, and He treats us with tremendous amount of love. And that's how I should look at every single person that I treat, with niceness and with consideration. I'm treating everybody with this all-embracing aspect of the Arevus, that I'm interconnected with everybody. And when I do that, not only am I treating others well, in fact, I've hit the very core of what Hashem wants from us to be, acting like the divine. And that's the goal. That Hashem is marichaf, He doesn't get angry, I don't get angry. Someone wrongs me, I'm able to step back and say, okay, there's a larger picture here. I don't need to take revenge. I don't need to show my anger. All of this is emulating a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So, my friends, let's just retrace our steps. What have we seen? Ve'ela mishpatim. These come from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He architected everything. This is why I called the Shir, the divine, the majestic mandates. They're coming from Hashem. The majestic mandates is that istaka bareisa vara alma. And we have to understand, if I appreciate that this comes from Hashem, that it's being orchestrated right now from Hashem, and this money, this envelope does not belong to me, I'm going to return it. Hashem is intimately involved in giving me exactly what I need. Two majestic mandates I had in mind that we become the majestic person. Through the mandates, we take on this godly form of majesty. We live up to the vision Hashem envisioned for us. That's how we have to learn these halachas. That's how we have to teach these halachas to our children. Wow! This is a learning experience of the sensitivity we need to have, the depth of understanding of the way people function, and it gives us an appreciation of myself, of others, and ultimately of my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what I need to understand, that these aren't just laws that are here to create peace in society. the rules to change me as a person. And when I don't take revenge, and I help my enemy out, and maybe not in changing a tire, but in a different, whatever situation it is, they need help. You know, it's like somebody calls you up and two people need dinner. One's a really good buddy of yours, and one you've had some past altercations with. Go make dinner for the one with the past altercations. Your friend will understand. That's how it's going to develop your muscles of being a mensch. That's what Torah's all about. That's the Majestic Mandates. And finally, my friends, and this is probably the most obvious, what the upshot of this Ideas for Our Life, notes Rav Rivlin, Sefer Parshios, he says, Lanu Nidvesh Yiftecha Parsha Chadasha. We think, Eila, this is a new Parsha, all right, finish, Mamana, Sinai, invite her, let's go on. No. He says, V'lacharzman paga kesem v'tama gilui, you think that it's all over. No. Ma'amad Har Sinai is never over. Ve'ela mishpatim ve'chayav liot nimshach, and the asterisk double on line 39. El tov tocham shel chayim, I said, has to enter into the very depths of your life. Chaye achulin, your very life. Hamischar v'ashuk heipanim achayrov v'gelim acharim shel tov Ma'amad Har Sinai. What goes on in your business world is just a different aspect of Ma'amad Har Sinai. It's not separate. There is no church and state. It's just Hashem. There's just religion in every aspect of your life. And that's why Rosbelsky notes in Parsha Vayetze and in Israel, he says, before one begins learning Torah in earnest 40, the world appears to be composite of many separate domains or many varied worlds of business, sports, politics, real estate, economics, labor, manufacture, pleasure. Sounds like it's in the New York Times that I added. There's no unifying factor to these areas of life. Each one is generally seen as an independent realm with its own set of rules and practices. But for the one who is completely committed to the study of Torah, there's only one world, a unified laboratory for the fulfillment and practice of the principles of the Torah. All aspects of life find their place within the greater structure of Torah. The business world is transformed into a living expression of Talmudic tractates about Basar Babetzia and their commentaries. Every possible scenario is subject to analysis. And he says, consider a larger marketplace. You see the transactions going on, buying and selling food, clothing, all of these have halachos connected to it. A person who's immersed in Torah understands halacha is from the word halicha, to walk, that every aspect of our lives is governed by the guidelines of Torah. Even our time has to be used and organized in a certain way. Our spouses and children require a certain portion of our day, as do our commitments to employers, employees, study partner, every aspect of life. The whole range of mitzvot, but also the makom, the commandments that man must perform for God, are all interrelated into a whole larger system. And that's why, to conclude, Rav Pinkus points out, there are people in 42 who believe that I ask a Rav, a question has to do with my food is kosher, Hilchos Shabbos, marriage, Lo'aleinu death. But when it comes to an inyan of monetary, you know, that I can figure out myself. And he says, no, kishem shebishar chelkei Torah yifshar b'shemofen laki elam. It's just like in other aspects of Torah, you can't read truth. So too in the laws of Torah, there's only one aspect. You know, I had this recently. This is just a minor story. I bought different types of chicken, cut chicken, thighs, the whole, you know, different parts of chickens, like four or five chickens. And the lady said to me, are all the chickens the same? And I thought she meant, are all the chickens in this pile the same? All that pile were the same, but she took from another pile and added all the piles together, weighed all of them as one, as that same type of chicken, whatever it was, cut up chicken or... And then when I got home, I realized that she weighed like, you know, six chickens with all one price when they weren't one price because they were two different types of chickens, the thigh and the cut-up chickens, if I'm making any sense. So I was a little chicken to go back to the store. Now, I really opened up the chicken when I realized this, and I didn't know what to do now. I can't get back a cut-up chicken. They reweighed the chicken. It was just a total mess. So I called up the Rav, and I almost felt like a fool, but I said, like, hello, like, do I owe money? How much money do I owe? Like, like, what do I do here? Because it was not the same price, and whatever, we worked it through. But, like, this is a question you have to be bothered by. You can't say, well, you know what? And this is a voice that we all have. The store overcharges on so many different things. You know, they say it's a sale price, and they just, you know, rack everything up 10%, and then they say it's on sale, and then you buy. And, of course, you've been paying them an extra 10% for the last, I don't know, 15 years I've lived here. So what's the big deal if I add another 4 shekels to, no. I can't have that attitude. Every single thing has to be literally, no pun intended, weighed and measured, and it has to be exact. And he gives us examples here. He said the person goes to the store, and they pick something up, and they damage it when they put it down. You know, they bang it, or they you know, sometimes even break it. Do you have to tell the storekeeper, you know, I banged this thing. Do you have to buy it? What's your responsibility? At work. Hello. Time. Can you make personal phone calls at work? Can you take, you know, use the Xerox machine at work or the fax machine at work without paying for these things? I just called my friend who's in the catering business. I call her every Shabbos, and I said to her, all right, it's a good time to talk. She said, I'm at work now. I said, if you're at work now, setting up for a Kiddush for Shabbos, I'm not going to talk to you because you're at work. Work means that you have to give 100% of your attention to your boss. No, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal for me. It may not be a big deal for you. It is a big deal. That's what we have to understand, that we have to have this level of sensitivity. Because a person's paying for your time. They're paying for your time, as my friend says, I can cook better with 2 ears than with 1 ear. You know, like, actually focusing on what you're doing. And that's why, Ani Hashem Ohev Mishpat in 43, Hashem loves Mishpat, He loves people who are going to do everything, Alpi Mishpatei HaTorah. And I'd like to end with a beautiful word I saw quoted, Yor Gedayahu, from the Kutzker Rebbe. On this pasuk of Magid Varav LeYakov Chukav Mishpatav Yisrael Lo Asachin L'chol Goyim Mishpatim VaYigalum, he didn't give these to any other nations. We end Haluka. Praise God. Only a Jew who sees the beautiful system of Torah, the majestic mandates, is able to say Haluka. Praised are you, Hashem, because we understand the depth of what this praise is all about.